If you would, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we'll be reading the whole chapter. And our focus this evening will be on verses 10 through 18. Remember, the last two Lord's Days, we've been in the first 9 verses. And now, verse 10 and on. But we'll read the whole passage in chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. Let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of bone and marrow and soul and spirit. And so, Father, we pray that you would find out our, as you already know, and show us the thoughts and intents of our heart. And we would turn unto you in repentance, knowing that you're the God who freely pardons. And you would call us to faith and faithfulness and obedience to you, the living and true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, these are God's words. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed all the mighty men of valor and help them. And so the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. And then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And those are God's words. The Lord has commanded. He's commanded Israel to rise up and cross over the Jordan and take over the land of Canaan. They are to defeat and destroy the wicked as they go by the hand of the Lord, and to be strong and have a good courage and faith in the Lord, because He will go with them. He is with them, and with Joshua particularly as the people's mediator and captain, as comfort in the commands and promises He's given. And now we see Joshua's and Israel's response to the commands of the Lord. Joshua is now the leader on earth of Israel, the leader of the government. He's the judge taking over from Moses after Moses has died. And so we see first Joshua's obedience. Joshua's obedience. The Lord commands, and the obedience again of God's servants is what? We see in this passage, just like we saw this morning, immediate. There's no hesitation. We saw this with the wise men. We saw this with Joseph. We see it here again with Joshua. Remember, look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass to the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess this land," or the land, "which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." The immediate call to the officers of the people. He's calling up the military. He's calling the men of the army, prepare to cross over the Jordan River in 3 days. 3 days, which is sufficient to prepare to go to battle. And yet only 3 days. The officers would go back to their tribes, back to the people, who make sure all these fighting men were equipped for the assault on Canaan. While 3 days is sufficient, 3 days would leave little time for these men also to be idle. Now, these men had been camping at the current location since Moses died for some time. They had at least mourned for Moses 30 days. And if they were idle, that is, if they were lazy, time would change their adrenaline, which would probably have been ramped up within them in excitement. Time would have changed their excitement to fear. Gossip, perhaps, rebellion of the Lord. And so too, when we delay our obedience in anything, beloved, if we delay our obedience, it turns often to hardness of heart. It turns to sin. Just like it would have for Israel, and it does in some places. It's time to obey Jehovah. When you hear His commands, it's time to obey. And to be determined and diligent in your obedience. They are to prepare victuals, prepare food, prepare provisions enough to sustain them for the war. But even with that, from the manna that God is still providing them, still supplying them from heaven. In chapter 5 of Joshua, a few chapters from now, it shows that the manna ceases then. It says, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land in Canaan. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." And so while they're preparing supplies, preparing food, they would be collecting, it seems, manna while they went as well. And their families that stayed back did as well. The Lord still providing their every need with the manna. Providing through foreshadowing the bread of life, on whom never were they completely satisfied on the manna, but only ever were truly satisfied, and we truly satisfied in Christ alone and feeding upon Him. They're going to cross over the Jordan for a purpose, to go in to possess the land of their inheritance that the Lord has given to them. But you also notice that there's a chain of command. Joshua to the officers, and the officers are to pass that through the host, that is the army, and command their inferiors. And that would be also commanding all the people, because the people, some of the people we see had to stay behind. Well, they were commanded as well. And so lesser magistrates we see here are just as important as higher magistrates, or governors, as we put it in our terms, are just as important as presidents or congressmen at the federal level. But what could Joshua have done without these officers? Not as much, And we looked at that before in the Pentateuch. We've seen even in Exodus, the setting up of the 70 who were judges, the 70 elders. And so we see them, or see similarly here, that Joshua could not get as much done as if he were by himself in the same amount of time. There's reason, beloved, we are to be subject not only to the king, not only to governing rulers, but even those who are sent by higher rulers. And this, we remember Romans 13, we remember 1 Peter 2, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, lesser magistrates, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." And just as we studied this previously, we're going to see an important aspect of who are godly rulers in this passage as we see them here. We see many ungodly rulers in Scripture and in our day, of which we should seek our best to submit to them for the sake of peace, without bowing to them. But so too, like this passage, we see some examples of also godly rulers, which the Lord calls us to have always, and yet they're not always there. The Lord calls us to have and to submit to them, even the lesser magistrates. So Joshua, by God's grace, is a godly ruler, of which we see verse 7 and 8, the same commandment given to Joshua as is to be given to kings and rulers as their duty. We see in Deuteronomy, these commands given to Joshua are the same that are given to kings and rulers in authority, that they are to observe all the law, to do all of the law, and not to turn to the right or to the left, but to meditate upon the law day and night, and lead in that way and rule in that way. That's the calling of all leaders, everywhere and anywhere, but especially that is emphasized throughout Scripture for civil magistrates and leaders. It's not just to state that they're Christians, but they meditate upon the law day and night, and observe it and promise to keep it and rule according to it. Not rule according to the dictates of the GOP or the Democratic Party. Not compromising between various views, but only and ever according to the law of God. And so these lesser rulers and officers of the army were to do the same as they go out and lead the people. Verse 12, it says, "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land." Remember this? The inheritance of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh was on the east side of the Jordan. The land they've already conquered. The land that they're in right now, before they cross over the Jordan River, they already have their land. And that's what's communicated. They already have rest in that land. And they are standing on it as Israel is preparing to cross over the Jordan to the west, to the rest of the land that is their inheritance. And here is the call from Joshua. Right? He shows us first he's in the Word. He knows the Word. He knows God's commandments. The word that the Lord and the promises the Lord had given to Moses, and he reminds the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half tribe of Manasseh, remember the vow you made, and that they must come and pay it now. Pay your vows. In Numbers 32, they saw the land in which they had loved, and they said, and they say there, even as they had already now come to rest in it. Numbers 32, "If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over the Jordan." We like this land on the east side of the Jordan. Let us have it and not cause us to cross over the Jordan. Well, Moses responded, "Shall your brethren," that is the rest of the tribes, "shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here?" Well, they go to war. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh vowed the following: "But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward." And Moses said unto them, "If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." And so what's happening here is Joshua, knowing God's word, Numbers 32, knowing God's word, knowing their promise, the Gadites, the Reubenites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, knowing their promise they made before the Lord, their vow they made before the Lord, calls upon them to keep their vow, pay their vow, right? Verse 13, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land," right, on the east side of the Jordan. "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising." You see how the people of God must serve one another. God's people must serve one another. It's never, well, I'm good as a Christian. I'm saying I'm good and, you know, they're struggling, but that's okay. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing over here and I'm not going to help. You can't, that's not what a Christian is. When our brothers and sisters down the road are in need of help, we ought to be there with whatever we can to help, to pray, etc. But because what was it later on that these 2.5 tribes were found guilty of which the Lord said, "Your sin will find you out"? When their brothers and sisters were attacked in the land of Canaan after they had conquered and had their inheritance, when they were attacked in the land of Canaan, what happened in Judges? They did not come to war to help their brothers. They were not showing that unity that they had together in the Lord. Beloved, maintaining unity that the Lord has given us is not easy. And yet, that's what we're called to in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. When it has to do with this congregation and the unity we have together, it's not easy to hold the peace or maintain the peace that we have and unity that we have. We must be continually working and obeying the Lord to keep it. And we come to a unity only through God's Word, the truth. But to maintain that unity requires of us great diligence and prayer and humility. Beloved, be eager to maintain the unity that we do have in the bond of peace. As we look around the room, we do not have perfect unity with anyone here. And yet the unity we do have, God commands us through Paul, maintain that unity in the bond of peace. In the Spirit. When there is sin between you, we are to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, for the grace of the Lord and our unity is at stake, right? And remember that in Christ, love covers a multitude of sins. And so keep looking to Christ, that we might maintain this unity of the Spirit of Christ by the Spirit. And yet for Israel, this didn't last long. We already mentioned in Judges. When we go further into Judges over and over, you see, in those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did what was right in his own eyes. Instead of following the Lord and His Word, which is where unity comes from, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Disunity. And that's what we see today in many denominations, even churches within denominations, beloved, disunity. And so many, including us at times, have gone and done what was right in our own eyes. This can't be the way. And so we prayerfully must keep pursuing unity with all churches and all denominations, because God wants His church, His bride, to be one as they are one. So that does not mean that we compromise on God's Word, because that's where unity comes from. Unity, Ephesians 4, in the middle of the chapter, it tells us that unity is found in the truth. And so we keep praying for unity, beloved, and work towards it for the sake of unity in the body. We do so in the same in our congregation, but so to the larger and greater, broader church. Keep working together to come to a greater unity of the truth through study and worshiping the Lord, meditating upon His law day and night. These words as well in Joshua should also not only turn our hearts to pursue unity and maintain that unity, these verses should also turn our hearts to the promises of the Lord. Here are the people on the verge of crossing over to possess the land of the inheritance that the Lord had given to them, in which we remember the covenant promises the Lord had made 400 plus years before this point to Abraham in Genesis 12. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land, land of Canaan." That promise we heard a couple Lord's days ago, promises repeated to Abraham multiple times, over and over, as well as his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, even repeated to Joseph, even repeated to Israel in Egypt. And now they're on the brink of crossing over, finally, and going to war, and seeing the promises of the Lord come to fruition, and they know this. That should encourage them in this. It is that encouragement that we should have in prayer, knowing that the Lord will answer all of our prayers, but also He will do so according to His own promises. He will be faithful to every promise He makes. And that's an encouragement we should have in coming to worship, knowing that the Lord promises to bless us, especially in this time. It is that encouragement we should have in turning to Christ from our sins for our salvation and cleansing of sin as He washes us, for the Lord promises to cleanse us of our sins as far as the east is from the west, and assures us that He will freely pardon and receives us for Christ's sake alone. Even in the moments of death, the Lord promises our encouragement, beloved, for we can say with the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beloved, when we have the promises of God, we don't merely have what it says, "That my cup runneth over." But we, as we take up continually and consider the promises of God, what should be welling up within us should be almost more than we can bear, to find it so exceedingly pleasant and joyful, that we will not merely dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but knowing with great joy that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Which means that every day, from here to eternity, I should be forever a blessed man, happy in Jesus. For my God's goodness and His covenant mercy will always be towards me in Christ alone. Are there trials and afflictions? Are there tears and tough times? Absolutely, but still at the same time, blessed in Christ, happy in the Lord. Remaining in my Father's presence, as the promise says, knowing I will never leave His house, it is to be so precious to you and to me and my inheritance forever. Hold on to the promises and be encouraged in them continually. And then, again, they could fear. They could become dismayed at the looking out over across the Jordan and thinking about, we had to cross over this Jordan. And these 2.5 tribes leaving their wives and children and families and livestock, etc., all of Israel could fear entering into the land. And yet over and over, beloved, the medicine the Lord provides for fear are His promises and what? Obedience. He provides for our fear promises, His promises and obedience. And so, beloved, we are called today in Hebrews 12. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How important that is, beloved, to look unto Jesus in the race that we're running. sitting on the throne as our mediator king. We know in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So here is Joshua's obedience. Second point in the last three verses is Israel's obedience. Israel's obedience along with Joshua's. In verse 16 it says, "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go." Who is they? "And they answered Joshua." Right before this, it addresses the 2.5 tribes. And yet this was the officers of verse 10 who are speaking on behalf of the rest of Israel. So these officers are being talked to by Joshua, the Lord through him, and he's commanding the officers to go and tell this to the host, the army, and to the people, and that includes what we just read in verses 12 through 15. Go and tell that to them. Well, they, the officers, finally now respond on behalf of the people too. God's people respond here. "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." And so when the Lord ordains his leader in place, one here to replace Moses as mediator, but also ruler to judge the people of God, the same if we're talking about a king or any other civil magistrate, one thing we learn in Romans 13 was that the people of the nation, very important, the people of the nation must assent to their rule. They must assent to their rule, just as Israel, the officers here for Israel, are doing. As we see when it comes to David being king, and Solomon being king, and many other kings, they come and they assent to their rule. Because that is what is required. They have to agree, they have to vow to follow. And if that does not happen, if one takes it by force, if it's not agreed to by the people, then such a rule is illegitimate. We learn that. And it's the same in the church. We have through elections or calls to elders, calls to ministers. And so here we see the people's assent to Joshua being their governor and ruler and judge. And so today they vow to submit to their captain. They vow to submit to their general as soldiers, but so to their governor and judge. And so, beloved, as Joshua here is foreshadowing Jesus, remember the name we studied, Jesus. Now it is the same as Joshua, meaning Jehovah saves. Here it is, beloved, to our Savior, it is that so too we must swear allegiance to our Lord Jesus. Just as they're swearing allegiance to Joshua, so we must swear allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the King. Here is what the covenanter doctrine of swearing allegiance to our King for Christ's crown, right? We must swear our allegiance, and all allegiances must bow to this allegiance, of this one allegiance that we have to our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, He who is our captain of our salvation. We must bind ourselves to do His word. We must proclaim it unto Him that all that Thou commandest us, Christ, we will do, and whithersoever Thou sendest us, we will go. All allegiance unto Christ, your allegiance unto the United States must come to submit to Christ in everything. Your allegiance to your job and business must come to submit to Christ in everything. Your allegiance to your family and extended family must come to submit to Christ in everything. Your allegiance to yourself must come to submit to Christ in everything. In verse 17, "According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as He was with Moses." The Lord through Moses commanded, and the promise, the people promised to obey, and they turned out in God's providence to be a stiff-necked and hardened people, and they sinned, and they did not listen to Moses. And so now here they come again, the next generation, and they say, just as promised, they promised before Moses, or their parents did before Moses, so they promise, "By God's grace, the grace of Almighty God, we will listen unto you and we will follow you." And they plead as well, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as He was with Moses. This is their prayer. Inferiors, remember the fifth commandment, subordinates, inferiors, those under authority, beloved, must be those who pray for those in authority over them. Children, you are to pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. And pray for your father especially. Wives, you are to pray for your husbands. Workers, you should be praying for your bosses. Citizens should be praying for their rulers. Congregation, you should be praying for your elders and deacons. 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Prayers for all in authority. For what purpose? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Right? You want to be led well. Right? You want to be led in godliness and holiness, not having elders or having rulers, governing rulers. You don't want to have your husband. You don't want to have your parents lording over you in ungodliness. You want them to lead well and lead you to Christ, the Savior. And that's done according to God's law. We lead according to God's law. So pray for them. Pray for them. In verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Their determination to obey led to a right understanding of disobedience and justice. Any who disobey Joshua's orders, as he is the mediator, as he is the Lord's leader that the Lord has put in place, and the people have now ascended to that rule, any who disobey Joshua's order should be put to death. The sword, just like we read in Romans 13. You see again here how Joshua again points us to our mediator, King Jesus. What happens to those who do not obey the command of the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ? They perish forever. Remember in Deuteronomy 18, when Jehovah promises a prophet to be brought forth, prophesying of the coming of Christ, who would be exalted as a prophet, and thus the very Word Himself who speaks to us, it says there, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he speak unto them all that I shall command him. And we praise the Lord that that prophet, who is also our mediator king, was sent. He's come, and now he sits on the throne. He sits on the throne, and we have his word and the scriptures that is providentially preserved and kept pure in all ages. Well, just as here with Joshua, so with Jesus, it says in the next verse in Deuteronomy, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. His life will be required. His life would be forfeit. Beloved, it is our duty in full allegiance to Christ, Jesus Christ, who is our prophet, who is our priest, mediator, and who is our king, to hearken unto him and obey his commandments and the grace that he supplies. And all obedience unto the commands of Jesus begin with one. And whether you will obey is an answer to the question of whether you will give your full obedience or full allegiance to Christ the King or not. And that Jesus Christ the King says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The commandment of Jesus comes to you this evening. It starts here. He commands, turn from your sin, believe the gospel. Hate your sin. Know that your sin was condemned there at the cross in the body of Jesus himself. There as he bled and suffocated and died while being cursed for us, the sins of his people. Believe that Jesus died for your sins and have that well up within you. Such sorrow, unspeakable, grieving that your sin caused the sinless, perfect Lord to hang and die and be cursed on the cross. When you read of Peter who denied Jesus three times, this should be what you're thinking about. You caused him because you denied him. You caused him to hang on the tree. I caused him to hang on the tree. And it is there at the tree that alone delivers you. Jesus hanging there delivers you from that condemnation of your sin. Not death forever if you are in Christ, but life forever in Christ alone. It commands, repent ye and believe. Repent ye and believe. Will you obey Jesus? May the Spirit come upon you and grant the grace to repent and the grace by His Holy Spirit to believe, so that all allegiance and swearing allegiance would be in each one of you to Jesus alone, the King of Kings alone. Finally, the passage ends with the people's reminder. Very end of verse 18. The people's reminder to the Lord's calling of Joshua. Only be strong and of a good courage. Faith in the Lord. Remember what we talked about, what that means, to the command to be strong and of a good courage. Faith in the Lord and leading according to His word, or obedience. Only be strong and of a good courage. And so it's your duty, right? It's your duty, and any who are in submission, to remind their leaders of their duty, to encourage them in their duty, required to King Jesus Christ. It's an obedience that is full, all complete, and that obedience in which we know must be not in our own strength, but as we're called to run this race, where we can say with Paul, knowing the almighty power of our God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice here, it's the officers who, hearing the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage, that they come back and they say, Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. Verse 17, they're pleading, only the Lord thy God be with thee as He was with Moses. Only be strong and of a good courage, Joshua. And so we must call our leaders to the same, to encourage them in their duty, to be faithful unto the Lord in obedience. Just as then we would all the more, as we were to pray for kings and rulers and all in authority, we would be led well ourselves. Let's pray. Our Father, it is our desire that we would live lives of godliness, filled with godliness and holiness, filled with peace. And we, of course, desire unity in the body and unity in the church, unity in the nation. We confess that that only comes through the truth. And Your word is truth. And You're the God who is truth. And everything opposed to You is a lie. And so, Father, we pray that we would be faithful by Your Spirit, and through the righteousness of Christ alone, for we are weak in ourselves. Make us to be, by Your grace and by Your righteousness, and by the Spirit, obedient to our King. And that all our allegiance would be found in Christ alone. For we exalt in Him for His crown and covenant. And so may it be. As He is the great leader, may He serve us perfectly as prophet, priest, and king in His exalted estate, that we would be blessed and honored by His presence, that we would follow Him in everything to do His will. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.